Praise God. God is good. Well, we've been in a series called Strong in Spirit. We're in part six. Let's go ahead and look at a few scriptures there on your sheet as we go forward. Luke 2:40. Luke 2:40 says, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." He became strong in spirit. That's better than weak. Amen? You don't want to be weak. We don't want to be weak. We want to be strong. We want to be robust. So if something hits you, it doesn't knock you off. It doesn't, you know, hit you and you go way over here. No, the things of life, the challenges of life are going to come to all of us. We realize that? That's not a bad confession. That's just the truth. If we think that we're never going to be run up against any difficulties in this life, then we're going to be surprised. That's how people get disillusioned. They think if you have an understanding that doesn't line up with the Word of God, then your experience, you know, doesn't line up with what you believe, but your belief is wrong. People then they start to associate that with the Bible, and say, well, the Bible must be wrong. Well, maybe it could be that we have a misunderstanding of what the Bible says. But one thing is, some people believe that you should never run up against a problem in life. And we talked about this in our series, The Spirit of Victory. We're going to run up against challenges, but the issue isn't if we're going to run up against challenges. We are. It's what we do when that happens. And your strength and my strength, how strong we are spiritually, will get us through, will dictate how we come through these challenges. So it's a foregone conclusion that life, we live in a fallen world, we're going to see things come, we're going to have challenges, you're going to deal with people that aren't serving God, so don't be surprised when you're at work, and goodness, people don't act exactly like Jesus. Some people are surprised, well, and they say, well, if I just worked somewhere where they were all Christians, well, they'd still have flesh, and you would still deal with people, and they still wouldn't act all like Jesus. Now, we're all being sanctified. We're all growing in His image, and that's what we're talking about. But don't fall off your chair just because somebody doesn't act perfect. Do you act perfect? I don't act perfect. Is that an excuse to say, well, that's just the way I'm? No, we ought to be doing what we know to change into His image. But you know what? That still doesn't mean you're going to be perfect tomorrow. And I'm not going to be perfect. So if you have a challenge, somebody else just, well, they just need to shape up. Well, put that back on yourself. Well, you just need to shape up. Stop it now. Everything. Be perfect now. When you walk out these doors, perfection. Well, you might as well just shoot me in the head now because it's not going to happen. Right? So we should not be surprised when things aren't perfect. Well, my work isn't perfect. Well, welcome to the club. Welcome to the world. We have challenges. We live in a fallen world. We'll probably get into this later. It's what you do in the middle of that. The Bible has stuff to say about how you need to act on the job. We'll get there, I think. But no, there are challenges here on the earth, but just because something hits us, we don't want that to knock us off, and then we're flailing around, and I just can't do anything for 3 weeks, and then we get up and decide to start moving on. We want to be robust. I like that word. Robust. That just gives a picture of, doesn't matter what comes, you're going to be able to take it. You know, if you have robust software, that means it doesn't crash all the time. You know, you got some tool that's robust, it means it'll last year after year. Pastor Hagin, when I say, just so you guys know, when I say Pastor Hagin, I refer to Pastor Hagin, the one that's the pastor of Rhema Bible Church right now. He used to be called Kenneth Hagin Jr. He was never really a junior, but they just called him that to differentiate him from senior. So Kenneth E. Hagin, the one that's gone on to be with the Lord, people would call him Brother Hagin. And then just to differentiate, the pastor is a pastor, and so I get in the habit of calling him pastor because he was my pastor. And so, but I'm not referring to Kenneth E. Hagin, who's gone on, and I don't know. I just thought about that. Maybe people don't know that. They think I'm talking about the senior. But Pastor Hagin, that's alive right now, he talks about when they built Rhema Bible Church, the building in Broken Arrow there. If you've never seen it, I mean, it's a big building, holds 4,500 people. But he said when they were laying the foundation and going, they drilled way down to set everything. He said it is the way they built it. You could drive a semi truck into one side of it, and you would not even know that anything happened on the other side because it's just built very stable and strong. It's built to last. Well, that's the way our lives. We want that to be us. You're trucking along, and something hits you. And not everybody knows it. You know, something hits you, and the ripple effect just doesn't go out throughout your life. You absorb some of it, and you just keep going. We just keep going because we're just strong. We're robust. We're strong spiritually, and that's what we're after. So this verse says, the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. This is talking about Jesus, and the grace of God was upon him. Let's keep moving. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That's being strong in spirit. That you would be, and I would be, strengthened with might through his spirit in our inner man. We talked about that. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. We're talking about being strong spiritually. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, jumping ahead a little bit, this is what I want to get into today, but in this verse, verse 17, or let's read this 16, it says, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. We want to be rooted and grounded in love. That's how we're going to be strong. Now we're going to keep going here. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So look at, now go in here, we're going to touch on a few scriptures that we've touched on before, but go then we'll go forward. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people. As to spiritual people. He could not speak to you as to spiritual people, he's saying. And we're talking about what does that mean? And we've talked about being strong in spirit, growing up in our heart. We're going to talk further about what it means to be spiritual today. Hebrews 13:20 says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will. In the Amplified, it says that he may strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out his will. So we're talking about being equipped, talking about being strong. Praise God. Now, I want to get into a little bit further about what that looks like, what that means. Let's skip down to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. It says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, being transformed into His image. Now, we touched on this earlier in the series, talking about being transformed into Him, His image, being like Him. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of the of His Son." So it is our goal, it is our destiny as Christians, if we'll cooperate with the Spirit of God, to be conformed to be to the image of Jesus, to be more and more like Him. Question is, what does that look like? Now, you can look at, if you read the Gospels, you'll see how Jesus acted. And the Bible says that He, when you saw Jesus in action, it's like you're seeing the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. So if you read the Gospels, the four accounts that we have, you will see Jesus in action, and the way He acted is the way we want to act. We want to be like Him. Look at Colossians 3, verse 8. "But now you yourselves are to put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him." We are to be transformed into His image. Our spirit man has been born again, but we want to get it stronger and stronger, so that our spirit dictates what we do, and not our flesh, not the unrenewed part of our mind. And we do that, as we've talked about these last several sessions, by feeding on the Word. You exercise then what you've been fed by doing. You can hear the Word. It's another thing to do the Word. Anybody that's been in close quarters with another human being knows this. Doesn't matter if it's a roommate. Doesn't matter if it's your brother, sister. Doesn't matter if you're married. If you've had to deal with anybody else, you're going to get, your walking in the image of Jesus is going to get tested. But that's how you grow. You get fed, and now you get to exercise. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. What does it look like? What does spiritual look like? And people have a lot of different ideas about this. Go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. You go ahead and turn there. Can we put up, well, you guys don't have to turn there, but can we put up on the screen Ephesians 4:11? We'll read this as you're going to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Then we'll come back to 1 Corinthians. So we read this, but going into what we're talking about here, I want to read this. For Ephesians 4:11 says, "He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ." Now, we spent some time on this in the last several times together. "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man," or that a mature man, "to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." See, growing up into like to be like Jesus. So we have these ministry gifts and the Word of God that we get fed in order that we would grow and be mature and grow more like Jesus. "That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things." We talked about that, the truth. We need the truth in order to grow. You don't grow by hearing something that looks like the truth but really isn't truth. It could be a counterfeit. And there's a lot of that in the earth today. That it sounds good, but it's not solidly based on the word. So at the end of the day, it's going to falter. When the pressure comes, it won't work as it should. Now, it might look like it works in certain areas, but in what we deal with in life, it will falter. You know, it's like it'll work maybe in sunny day conditions. You know, we talk about that. You know, I'm a software engineer. I've written software since I was like in fifth grade. And, you know, you talk about sunny day conditions, and this applies to a lot of different areas, not just software. But, you know, you write a piece of software, and, you know, you just beat on it a little bit, or not even beat on it. It's like, here, if the guy clicks here and does this, it works. Look, good, ship it. No. Because what if he does this thing over here and pokes it here and enters the wrong thing here? Then what happens? Well, if it blows up, it's not ready. It's not robust. You're not ready to ship it. So you got to beat on it from different areas. Well, there's a lot of things that look like the truth, and you look at it and you just poke it. Well, this looks like it works. Yeah, but what about when you get pressed from this side and this person's doing this? How does it hold up then? And what about 20 years from now? Does it have the longevity? Did you ever see there's some things that'll run on your computer? After a while, there's things that if it has a certain type of error in it, it'll just keep using all the available space on your computer and eventually just crash it, but you think it's working fine. There are things that look like, well, I'll just do this, but then years later it shows up and just blows up. Well, if we have the actual truth, that won't happen. Because God's truth is tested, tried, refined. The Word of God is pure. It will not fail. Amen. So if we're going to grow and be strong and be robust, number one, the food's got to be right. And we've talked about that the last several times. We have to be strong. And we have to be open. We will get strong, but we have to feed on the Word of God. We have to be open to change. If we think we have it made now, we're perfect, and we don't have any room to change, then when the truth comes, we'll say, well, that doesn't apply to me. No, we have to be open to changing. And like we talked about, that's not easy, but do we want to be robust? Do we want to be strong? Well, then we got to be open to change. We have to be open to the truth, but you need to have the right diet. We spent some time on that. But it says, speaking the truth in love, verse 15, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Now, keep reading. From the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love, building itself up in love. In love. Love is what causes the body to grow here. It's talking about that the building up of itself in love. Of course, you're building yourself up on the truth, but love getting to, as you work together with other believers. Now, you're at 1 Corinthians 12. It says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. Now this is right after it's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. The different manifestations of the Spirit. Here he's talking about God has appointed these in the church. And he lists these things that we just talked about again. They're all here. As they were in Ephesians 4, we're not going to go into that, but in Ephesians 4 it says some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Those are all represented here. They just don't quite look the same, but they're all here. It says God has appointed these in church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healings. That's the evangelist ministry. You see, evangelists will have gifts of healings, miracles. That's the evangelist ministry. Helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. That's the pastor. Church administration, the helps, varieties of tongues. It says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Now there it's talking about in a ministry setting. See, some people will take this out of context and say, do all speak with other tongues? Do all speak with tongues? And say, see, that's not for everybody. He just got done saying, are all prophets, are all apostles, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? He's talking about the ministry gift of speaking in tongues in a public setting, not your individual gift of being filled with the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. And he goes into that more in chapter 14, but Paul said, I speak with tongues more than you all. And he's talking about your own ministry gift. So anyway, he says, do all interpret? All those things are talking about ministry gifts. Verse 31, but earnestly desire the best gifts. So these are good things. We ought to desire them. These are spiritual manifestations. He got done talking about the gifts of the Spirit, you know, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and discerning of spirits, you know, listed early in the chapter, the moving of the Spirit of God. But then he says, earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So these things are all good. They are all God-ordained. They've been given to the church. But then he says, but I show you a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians 13, then keep going. This is in the next chapter. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. Now let's just stop right here. We're going to get into this and fill this out more. But look at these statements. And we just need to ask ourselves, would I consider that spiritual? And then keep moving and see what the Bible actually says. Now, if you were talking about somebody and says, he says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels. Speaking in tongues, flowing with the gifts of the Spirit. Does that seem spiritual?
Yes.
But, and it is partly, but notice he says, if you have not love, you have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. He said, if you don't do it in love, nothing. Look at verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have, or stop right there, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Now, if you just think, is that spiritual? A lot of people would say, now I'm not trying to trick you here, there is a spiritual element to it, but it says right here, It says, then it goes on, though I have all faith and so that I could remove mountains. Now notice that. If somebody has all faith and can remove mountains, does that seem like you're spiritual? Okay? But have not love, I am what? Nothing. See, the way a lot of people look at spirituality is not what the Bible talks about. Now, these things are yielding to the Spirit, but walking in the Spirit, we're going to see this, walking in love is truly spiritual. Do you realize that somebody that is completely carnal, that means flesh dominated, can yield to these gifts of the Spirit? Now, you may think, how is all this possible? Somebody, you could yield to the Spirit of God and pick up what he's saying, but then walk right out of here, and a lot of the time you are actually yielding to your flesh, or a person is yielding to their flesh, not yielding to the love of God. The Bible says you're nothing. So it doesn't matter how much you are able to yield to the Spirit of God. If you don't do it in love, do you realize it's possible to yield to the Spirit of God and not do it in love? Otherwise, what are we reading? I mean, people would say, well, no. I mean, somebody, if you're yielding to prophecy and you know all mysteries, I mean, that's one that somebody that's really walking with God, maybe. You say, how is that possible? God wants to bless people, and he will move through individuals if somebody is listening to them, to him. But it doesn't mean they're walking everything out right all the time. I can see people's heads wheels are turning. Because what we think of a lot of times in people think of certain things as, ooh, you're spiritual. Do you realize that? I mean, you can flow in the gifts and work, you can grow in them and how you use them. Not use them, that's the wrong term. How you yield to them, because we don't own them. You can't turn them on and off. Anybody that says, well, we're going to have prophecy tonight, that's not possible. You can't tell God what to do. And if you're yielding to something, trying to turn it on, you open yourself up to yielding to the devil. If you think you're going to perform and say, well, we're going to do this, well, what are you yielding to? You're either yielding to God. We don't own these gifts. People can you can listen to God, and if it's God ministering through somebody, but that doesn't, you don't come under personal possession of these gifts. Otherwise, I could give it to you, but I can't. It's the Spirit of God, or you could give it to somebody else. It's not that way. But the point is, people can yield to these gifts but not be walking in love, which is exactly what he just said. Let's read these verses again. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. What does that mean? That means you're just making noise if we don't walk in love and do it. But could you do it? Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and clanging cymbal. Is it possible to yield to these gifts of the Spirit, but you're not doing it in love? Obviously it is. Go to the next verse. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. Now stop right there again. If you have the gift of prophecy and understand mysteries and knowledge, or have all faith so you can remove mountains, is it possible to walk in faith that you speak to the mountain and it goes and not be doing it in love? Apparently so. Now that can blow religious thinking up. What does this mean? Just because you yield to these things does not mean you're spiritual, because we're going to go forward. Walking in love is being spiritual, because God is love, and you walking in love is walking like him. And so many things of what people call spiritual, you may have yielded to the Spirit of God, you may walk in certain things, but in normal life, I shouldn't say it like that, in other aspects of life, not yielding to the Spirit of God, I shouldn't say at all, but not as much. Let's skip down. Let's leave that for a minute. Let's go over to 1 John 4. 1 John 4. We want to be spiritual, right? We want to be strong in spirit. Well, there's different facets to this, but we're talking about the primary way. 1 John. 1 John 4, verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God," and what? "Knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Woo! "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. For in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, so also, or we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit." Praise God. Let's keep going. We're just going to get into this a little bit. Let's look back at a few verses, and then we'll move on. Verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." God is love. God is love. Before we go on, let's keep going. Romans 13 on your sheet. Let's look at it on your sheet there. Romans 13, verse 8. It says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor." So it says, all the laws, all these commandments are summed up in "you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 8 says, "He who loves another has fulfilled the law." And we're going to see some other scriptures to this effect. The new covenant commandment is to love one another, to walk in love, to love God and to love your fellow man. That is the New Testament commandment. And walking in love, it says right here, if you walk in love with your fellow men, you're not going to murder them. You're not going to steal from them. So this is the commandment. Well, if you fulfilled God's law, given down, all the statutes are summed up in walking in love, that is the law that we walk by as New Testament Christians. That is being spiritual. You fulfilled the law. You're walking according to the New Testament commandment. Let's read some other verses. Galatians 5:13. It says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Not only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Notice that. What are we supposed to be doing? Through love, we're supposed to be serving one another. Read verse 13 again. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty." What does that mean? We're free. We're free. But notice what the next part of that verse says. Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Was it possible to do that? Sure it is. Well, I'm free. I'm forgiven in Jesus. So therefore, I can do whatever I want and He'll forgive me. Yeah, but don't forget, the wages of sin is death. And it says right here, we're not supposed to use that. What's the next thing? But through love, serve one another. Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Well, I'm free. I can do whatever I want, and it'll be okay. Praise God. There is so much here. Because of what, we're just going to touch on this, but you see these different, these verses talking about loving your neighbor. You see that if you don't do, if you don't love, but you do all these other things, the Bible says you're nothing, what we read in 1 Corinthians, that it's noise. But notice the people were still walking in spiritual power. But also, the Bible talks about that if we can yield to the Spirit of God, but if we're carnal, if we yield to the flesh, the end of that is going to be death. And that's what confuses people. You can yield to certain things spiritually, but if we don't walk in love, if we don't yield to what to the truth of God's Word, it will end in death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death in Romans 6. And it may look like things are going okay. Well, God's still blessing me here. Well, He'll do that as much as we can, as much as He possibly can. But if we don't walk in the new covenant, our job is to walk in love. But it said, don't use the liberty that we have in Jesus just to say, I can do whatever I want to do. Do you realize there's a lot of that in Christianity right now? We've taken the grace of God and ran it into the wall so that it doesn't matter. It's okay to do whatever because God will forgive you. Well, He will forgive you, but there's a cost to us yielding to the flesh. There's a cost for us, and we can see this, we could go into different things. If we don't walk in love with those around us, there's a cost. You can drive your spouse away. You can drive your children away. You could run your health into the ground. You could blow up your job. Does that mean God doesn't love us? Does that mean God won't forgive us? Well, there's forgiveness, but there's a cost to not yielding to Him. So we don't want to take this stance that, well, it's okay to do whatever. No, we want to use the liberty that we have through Jesus. Go to the next verse. Or no, this is fine. Sorry, it's on the screen. Verse 13, do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, what? Serve one another. So we use the freedom we have to serve. That is being spiritual. Go ahead and look at Colossians 3, verse 12. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Above all these things, put on love. Above all these things, put on love. Look at 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5, sorry. It says, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, from sincere faith, and from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. The purpose of the commandment is what? Love from a pure heart. That's the purpose. This is our goal. to walk in love. James 2, verse 8, look at that. It says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. So there, this is called the royal law, the law of love. Walking in love is being strong in spirit. Jesus walked in love. Jesus, everything you saw him do, you read about him do, is love. He walked according to what God is love, and God, and Jesus walked according to God. Did, he said, he does, Jesus said, I do what I see my Father, what my Father tells me. If you've seen me, you've seen him. So when you see him walk, everything that he did on this earth was love. Our target is to be like him. Praise God. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians. Back to 1 Corinthians 13 and pick up there. First Corinthians 13, verse 4. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, it says, love suffers long. Now, we will get into these things, I believe, maybe in a coming time, maybe next time, I believe. You know, we may go a different direction. But I'm just going to read these things in the New King James. So we just, previous to these verses, let's go back to verse 1 and just read it in context. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and do not have love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Not even a little bit. Can you see that? See, what would a lot of people say? Well, man, if you are walking in this power, you are doing great things. What does it just say? It profits you nothing. Didn't even say a little bit. We just read all these scriptures. The Bible says love is the fulfillment of the law, not walking in the power of God. Did I lose somebody? Do you realize what a lot of... Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't walk in the power of God. But do you understand that it's possible to walk in the power of God and not walk in love after a while? If you would study, there's certain, if you look at the lives of certain men and women that have, their ministries were powerful. But if you look at certain things, and I'm not going to mention them on purpose, okay? I don't want to say things derogatory about some man and woman that has served God. But if you look at some of their lives, people died young. And there were certain reasons why they weren't walking certain things in their lives, and it cost them. But it can be confusing to us. It's like, how were they used at that level? Well, God will use people. And this is very instructive for ourselves. Just because God's using you in a certain area, that doesn't negate all the things we've read about walking in love. And do you mean really a spiritual person will walk in love in their home, with relationships that are close to them, in their job? Walking spiritual can look a lot more mundane than some people think. What people a lot of times term spiritual is this flashiness. Now, the Spirit of God, I'm not saying it's flashy, but people sometimes they go after the super, the spectacular. Humans want to see spectacular. and they miss out on supernatural. Do you know it's God's will for us? We're talking about being strong in spirit. Strong spiritual people are people that walk in love with those around them. Do you realize you could be, some people, being hyper, how should I say this? There are people that, no, I'm not even straight, I don't even want to say, there are people that, this is a view, that somebody that looks spiritual, real somber, serious about the things of God, short with people, because they're so caught up in the spirit. Just no, doesn't do any, you know, it has no use for any natural things. That could be somebody that's real spiritual because, you know, after all, they're so spiritual that, yeah, they you know, in the natural or walking with people, they don't really do well. They can't hold a job and everything, but they're spiritual. That's not true. Because we're going to read about what love is. That's not true. Because the Bible says love is the fulfillment of the law, which is God's commandments, which is the way he sees holiness. Now, for the new covenant, we our righteousness is imparted to us by our faith in Jesus. But the Bible still tells us to walk in love. We just read how many scriptures that is the fulfillment of the law. That is being spiritual. And if we are... There's a false spirituality. People think sometimes, well, if you have certain behaviors or you can know something about the Bible. Knowing about the Bible is not the same as doing what's in the Bible. Just because we can quote 20 verses off the top of our head on a certain subject does not mean we're spiritual. What we do day to day, how we treat other people, how we walk. You want to find out how spiritual somebody is? Look at them at home. When there's nobody around except their family, or when they're alone. That's how spiritual they are. Do you know what this should not be a depressing thing. Because you know what? Spirituality is within our grasp. It's not what a lot of people think it is. There are people that are very spiritual that if they don't understand what's here, they won't think, they'll say, well, I'm not that spiritual. But you look at them, they're walking in love with people, they have a solid marriage, they're dealing well on their job, they have good respect with people. That is a spiritual person. Now, in the charismatic move and things where people started flowing the gifts of spirit, you know, it's tempting to think, well, they are walking in this, wow, look at what God's speaking through them. We just got done reading. The Bible said you can flow through with the gifts of the Spirit, and it doesn't profit you anything if you don't do it in love. But you can do it. But what does it say? That love is the fulfillment of the law, not walking in the gifts of the Spirit. Doesn't say that's the fulfillment of the law. That doesn't say, it doesn't say God is the gifts of the Spirit. It says God is love. It doesn't say love or God is quoting a bunch of verses. He's the Word. I mean, that'd be contradictory. But the scribes and Pharisees quoted verses. The scribes and Pharisees had all knowledge and were the most religious people. But Jesus rebuked them. Love rebuked them. Went right in their face. Let's go to the next verse. We'll wrap up for today. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. So this is, we're going to fly over this. You know, these are probably somewhat familiar. But things can become so familiar, they just go right in one ear and out the other. If you've ever been to a wedding, you've probably heard these verses. Which is ironic, you know, I mean, we're quoting these verses, which are, yes, very applicable in a marriage. But that's not like not a lot of what people will pay attention to necessarily in the wedding. And this is exactly what's going to make the difference is if the marriage lasts or not. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. So it's talking about a character. What does God, what's God's character? And what are we supposed to be doing? Now, before you get too far, do not take this as, I know, I'm supposed to be doing that and that. We all know we could do better. Our point today is, this is spirituality. Now, we'll read a verse before we leave. This love has already been given to us. This is not you trying to work something up. The Spirit of God has given this to us. But let's look over it. Love suffers long and is kind. We'll read this in other translation or translations and look at this. But love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Well, see, well, they're real spiritual, but, you know, don't go talk to them because, you know, they're too spiritual to talk to anybody. They might bite your head off, but, you know, but that doesn't jive with this. Does not seek its own. Not selfish, is not provoked. Well, you know, they're touchy, but man, they know a lot of Bible verses. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Next. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Next part. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Talking about here in this realm. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall be known just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is what? Love. Is love. Walking in love is the true mark of spirituality. The Bible says that you walk in love, it's like you fulfilled every commandment. Well, what is that? Righteousness. We're talking about you walking it out. We're not talking about what was imputed to you through Jesus. You can't earn salvation. But when we're talking about being spiritual, you're telling me that walks like God. Well, what's God like? He's love. So look quickly, in closing, at Romans 5. Let's just look at it on your sheet there for the sake of time. Romans 5:5. You have that on your sheet? Yes. Last one. 1 through 5. Is that what's on your sheet? Yes. Okay. Just five? Okay. Can you put up one on your... We'll look at it on the screen. This really isn't applicable to what we're saying, but that's all right. We'll read this in context. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, or we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God has been poured out. Where? In our hearts. Where's your heart? Your spirit, the one we talked about. Your spirit, man, has the love of God poured out. Now we need to develop in it. We need to yield to it. You don't yield to your flesh. You want to yield to this. We have this. How you develop in it, how you walk in it, is the mark of spirituality. But we have it. We just need to develop it. Praise God. Glory to God. God is so faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He is a faithful God. Glory to God. We can grow strong. Be more like Him. We want to be more like Him?
Yes.
Amen.